Welcome in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to those of you gathered in person and online this morning as we mark the fourth Sunday of Advent. Now, you might have noticed in your guides to worship that Sebastian is listed as the minister for today, and well, I'm here. The flu has hit our household, and I'm farther along in the recovery than he is. So I am leading Sebastian's service and his sermon. Today our theme is Joseph Said Yes, as we focus on his response to God speaking to him in his dream. I'll invite you to rise for the confession and forgiveness, which you'll find on page 4 in your guides to worship. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God whose home is in heaven and earth, whose salvation is sure. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Long expected God, we confess that we look to ourselves for the peace and security only you can provide. We reach for swords and spears, reluctant to release our grip on the ways of war. We become impatient while waiting and weary of keeping awake. Free us from self-reliance and teach us to live in harmony with our neighbors. Increase our trust in God's timing and awaken us to your advent among us, that we may abound in the hope you have promised. Amen. God judges us not as we deserve, but according to God's own righteousness. You are freed and forgiven, saved by grace, and ready to welcome the Savior. Amen. Our gathering hymn is called The King Shall Come. It's 260. We light four candles for the four corners of the earth, everything to the north and the south, everything to the east and the west. We light four candles to say yes to the invitation to care for the earth and for all her good creation. We sing all four verses of Light One Candle, which is hymn 240. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Kyrie, page 184.
Yeah.
Let us pray. Lord God, like Joseph, give us tender and open hearts, ready to do your will. Help us to see where our hopes and dreams fit with your plans for our lives. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. An Israelite and Aramean military coalition presented a serious threat to King Ahaz of Judah. In response, Ahaz decided to secure his throne and kingdom by seeking Assyrian help. Isaiah reminds Ahaz that human attempts to establish security will fail. The prophet gives the sign that there's only one source of true safety, Emmanuel, God with us. And now the reading. The Lord spoke to Ahaz saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of Israel, is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse evil and choose good. For before the child knows how to refuse evil and choose good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." The word of the Lord. Our psalm from Psalm 80 can be found on page 5 of your guides.
Shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine upon us and we shall be saved. Fed them with the bread of tears. You have given them bowls of tears to drink. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. And so will we never turn away from you. Give us life, that we may call upon your name.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, starting in chapter 1. The letter begins, "From Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel which God promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scripture. The gospel concerning God's Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be Son of God, with power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. This Son is Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Word of God, word of life."
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. As mentioned, this is Sebastian's sermon that he had prepared earlier. Last Sunday, we had our Christmas pageant with the title, Mary Said Yes, and we took a break from our sermon series. But in a way, we didn't miss anything because of the way our Advent materials are structured this year. You see, the pageant was the first resource to be completed, and it contains almost all the themes that are taken up in the Sundays between Advent 1 and Epiphany of our Lord. The pageant almost works as a summary of the entire series. In the first act last Sunday, we heard of how Elizabeth and Zechariah said yes to Angel Gabriel's promise. And weren't the two kids so cute as that elderly couple complete with little canes? We then heard of how Mary said yes to the angel Gabriel's announcement that she would bear a son. The young woman's yes came with a lot more faith and conviction than for the professional religious man, priest Zechariah, who had a lot of questions and doubts. And then the third act had to do with Joseph's yes to the angel. And those who were there last Sunday will remember our Joseph, who so convincingly fell asleep on his chair. As our gospel text began today, now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way, when his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. There's a big dilemma presented. A thorny problem that arises for Joseph. You see, because Joseph is described as being righteous, someone who behaved honorably in relationships, he followed what the law expected. He treated people with respect and compassion. So Joseph finds himself in a difficult situation, caught in a culture that emphasizes the concepts of honor and shame. In the patriarchal society of the day, Mary's situation is risky and precarious if she is found to be pregnant before she is living together with her husband. According to Jewish law in the book of Deuteronomy, the proof of a young woman's virginity was a requirement for an honorable marriage. A woman lacking such proof could be accused of shameful behavior, and her family would be dishonored alongside her. In certain circumstances, the penalty then for her transgression was death by stoning. So Joseph had a few options. As Miguel Escobar mentions, in the worst case scenario, Joseph could have exposed Mary, left her out to dry, so to speak, and leave her and her family dishonored. This would be the best option to preserve his own standing. Many men likely would have chosen this option. They wash their hands of any guilt, walk away, and the woman takes all the blame and is scarred for life. Yet, Joseph was a righteous and God-fearing man, so he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, and he decides to divorce her quietly, which is the more honorable option that a few men might have chosen. Joseph refuses to cast any shame on Mary. He wants to limit the possible fallout and allow for the possibility that the child's actual father might step forward and marry her. Let me say that again. By divorcing her quietly, He gives room for the anonymous father, or so he thought, of Mary's child to make the right choice and to take care of Mary and marry Mary, stepping back gracefully and tactfully. That was the best option, he thought. So even before the angel appeared, Joseph shows compassion. He was a kind man who wanted to do the right thing. But what would Joseph actually do? At this crucial moment of decision, with the honor and fate of Mary at stake, God speaks to Joseph, not through experts or consultants or scribes like for a king who could afford this service, but in a way that happened to ordinary people in the Bible. They received divine instruction in a dream. You might remember prophets like Daniel and Zechariah received visions during their sleep, or even the patriarch Joseph, who became the second in command to the Egyptian pharaoh. He had dreams too. And so an angel in a dream told Joseph to take Mary as his wife, and she would bear a child from the Holy Spirit. Joseph awoke and did as God asked him. He said yes to God's request. He took Mary as his wife. As we heard in the pageant last week, Joseph said yes. He could have said no. Maybe he should have said no. There were 436 different reasons why he might have said no. Maybe he was afraid of what everyone would say since they weren't even married yet. Maybe he didn't know how to change a diaper. But even with all those reasons, Joseph took a risk. Joseph took a chance on God. Joseph shows a steadfast obedience to God, a loyal respect for God's will. This helped secure Mary's dignity. She was no longer at risk of being cast off, dishonored, and forgotten, but she was now part of an honorable family. Joseph gave Mary and her child a measure of security and protection from violence and danger. He gave them a home. Now, the second consequence to Joseph's actions was that Jesus' identity as part of David's line was secured. You see, Joseph himself, but not Mary, was descended from King David. And all the prophecies stated that the Messiah would come from the descendants of that great king. Now, Jesus was not Joseph's biological son, but through the legal act of naming him, he was essentially adopting him. As the angel had instructed, "You shall name him Jesus," was not just about making sure the kid could be called something, but it was a symbolic representation of what Jesus would do, namely to save people. The prophecies of the coming Messiah, the Savior, would be fulfilled as Joseph took Jesus as his own son, took him into his own family tree, and gave him the name that would be celebrated above all names. All too often, Joseph is portrayed as the third wheel, the man standing at the sidelines. It seems like all nativity scenes are focused on Mary and Jesus, and to agree, that's appropriate. But Joseph is more than just the husband, the stand-in. He was his earthly father. Both he and Mary raised Jesus from infancy until his adulthood. Joseph shaped the man Jesus would become. He still was an active father through Jesus's childhood. Jesus was known for his storytelling, his compassion, his words and actions. One could imagine that many of Jesus's traits were shaped by his father's influence. Joseph said yes to God, and his yes was important. It was essential to God's unfolding story of freedom from captivity to sin. As we ponder Joseph's choices, we might start to think of moments when we were challenged to do the right thing. Making the right choice in a dilemma is easier said than done, especially when it seems that the other person is at fault, or you want to throw them under the bus and just rid yourself of the sticky situation. It is often just too easy to say no. It seems there sometimes are 436 different reasons, even when the decision isn't life-altering. Here are a few reasons, definitely not 436 different reasons. Praise the Lord. Save that for another day, right? Sorry. Five good ones, though. In Advent, and especially these days before Christmas, it's easy to say no when our days are already full and our lives feel overbooked. Like the inn with no vacancy, in the Christmas Eve narrative, we close the door. Saying yes means making room, clearing space in our schedules and hearts, so Christ may be born among us through our care for another. It is easy to say, number two, it is easy to say no by staying silent. When words, wound, or injustice passes unchecked, silence keeps the road smooth for us. Saying yes means, like John the Baptist, preparing the way of the Lord by speaking truth, even when it makes the path rougher for us. The third reason we might say no. It's easy to say no to hope. When someone has disappointed us before, or when our prayers feel unanswered, Advent asks us to wait anyway. Saying yes means trusting God's promise again, even when experience tells us to guard our hearts. Four, it's easy to say no to generosity. When resources feel scarce and the nights feel long, saying yes means lighting a candle, sharing what we have, believing that even a small light given in love pushes back the darkness. And five, it's easy to say no by holding on to resentment and waiting for things to be made right first. Advent points us to Mary, who said yes before she had answers, before the future was clear. Saying yes means taking the first step toward forgiveness and reconciliation, trusting that God is already at work. May we, in what remains of the Advent season, continue watching, waiting, preparing the way, and saying yes to God's coming into our lives, and make the right choice like Joseph did, to say yes to costly compassion and love. Now, we have a special song today for the hymn of the day. It's called Freedom is Coming, and Deacon Scott is going to give us a little lesson before we sing it.
I think the microphone is on. Yes, that's a help. So I invited the choir to come downstairs to help us. They're coming along shortly. It's in the worship guide, but it doesn't have very many words. And you see the first two are bracketed. This is an African-American spiritual. Come on over. This is an African-American spiritual that is in a form of call and response. So those first words for the "Oh Freedom" part that you don't sing will be sung by Nicole and Lindsay, and then you're going to give the response, "Freedom is coming, freedom is coming." Those are the words you see there. So I want to start with the low men's voices. Freedom is coming. Freedom is coming. Can we try that? And freedom is coming.
Freedom is coming. Freedom is coming. Oh, yes, I know.
Back down in the basement. Here we go again. And
freedom is coming. Freedom is coming. Freedom is coming. Oh, yes, I know.
Now we'll go to the higher men's voices, or lower women's voices, the tenor part. And it starts, freedom is coming, freedom is coming. Ready? And
freedom is coming, freedom is coming, freedom is coming, oh yes, I know.
Now we're gonna put them together.
Freedom is coming, freedom is coming, freedom is coming, oh yes, I know.
And now the altos, the lower women's voice, or lower treble voice, and one.
Freedom is coming.
That one more time, and one.
Freedom is coming, freedom is coming, freedom is coming, oh yes, I know.
Everyone except the top voice, and one.
Freedom is coming, freedom is coming.
Women's voice.
Freedom is coming. Freedom is coming. Freedom is coming. Oh yes, I know.
Everyone sings.
Freedom is coming. Freedom is coming. Freedom.
See how that's working? There's one missing component. You didn't stand up yet. May I ask you to stand? And this is really important because you actually have to move. In Africa, they say you can't actually sing unless you're dancing. So there needs to be a bit of movement, not a lot of movement, but a little bit of movement so you swing with the music. Here we go again. We'll start with the call and then you all respond.
Oh, yes.
We continue with the Nicene Creed found on page 104. Together with those who wait for God and know freedom is coming, we profess, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and he became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In our waiting and watching, we come to you in prayer, O God, trusting your promise to renew the church, the nations, and the whole creation. In the anticipation of these days, prepare our hearts for your arrival. Stir our spirits through the gifts of artists, musicians, poets, and preachers, as together we proclaim your advent among us. God of grace, hear our prayer. The earth breaks forth in singing as it heralds the Messiah's coming. Fill our hearts with wonder as we join heaven and nature in announcing this holy birth. God of grace, you send your saving grace and peace to the nations. Lead us in work for justice and care for the common good. May we meet the Christ child we seek in the faces of our neighbors. God of grace, hear our prayer. When tears of grief, exhaustion, or loneliness come, or physical or emotional hurt overwhelms us, come to our aid. Uphold all who are anxious, who know the challenges of depression, or who are ill. Especially in our congregation, we hold and pray for Marjorie, Kevin, Betty, Annika, Judy, Yvonne, Jeanette, Megan, Henry, Maureen, and John, as well as those we name in silence. God of grace, hear our prayer. We pray for the family of Edith in this time of mourning. We also pray for all those people for whom this time of year is difficult, for those who carry grief, loneliness, or painful memories. May your gentle presence bring comfort and peace. Surround them with compassion, understanding, and hope that light still shines in the darkness. God of grace, hear our prayer. Surround expectant parents and those suffering from infant loss with communities of support. Bless young children and new parents. Guide us in ways that provide safety for all children and those who care for them. God of grace, hear our prayer. We pray for all victims of anti-Semitism, especially the victims of the Bondi Beach killing. God of grace, hear our prayer. We give thanks for all who have treasured the gospel and lived in faithful service, especially Edith Strathern. Strengthen our earthly journeys until, at the last, your face shines upon us and we are held in your love. God of grace, hear our prayer. Draw near to us, O God, as we commend all for whom we pray, trusting your mercy through Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let's share God's peace with each other. The offering hymn can be found in the Guide to Worship on page 7. Come now, O God. Let us pray. Holy God, the beginning and the ending, our hope as we wait, we praise you for joining us to your people of old. We bless you for your prophets who call us to righteousness and promise a new earth with peace for all. We praise you for the coming of Jesus our Lord, who lifts up the lowly, heals the suffering world, and proclaims your way of mercy and truth. Send your spirit on all who receive your word. Nurture our faith with your grace, accompany us with your might, and empower our zeal for your justice and joy. All praise to you, Holy God, today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Good. Please be seated for a few announcements. You may have seen the posters, but this afternoon you are invited to our Christmas cabaret and carol sing at 3 p.m. It's the first one that has ever been done here, and it will feature, again, you're working hard today, the St. Matthew Sanctuary Choir, Kang Lee Classical Guitar, Eternal Voices, the Celebration Bells, and the Community Music School of Waterloo Region students. On Christmas Eve, we have two services, German Christmas Eve at 5 p.m. and English Candlelight at 7:30, but as in years past, we begin before 7:30 with some hymn singing. So, also, we have Christmas Day Communion at 9:30 a.m. After service today, you are invited to our final coffee hour of the year. As you heard in the prayers, our beloved sister Edith Strathern entered into eternal life on December 16th. We join her family and friends in prayer during this time of mourning, and the funeral service was held on Friday. Finally, take out your skates, dust them off. There's a skating party in the new year, January 2nd. Good time to get out and have some exercise, eh? It's only an hour. You can skate for 5 minutes. Sometimes you need to warm your feet up to the feel of the skates, I find, eh? Like ski boots. They can get a little sore when constricted in there. But come out, have a skate or have a chat. There'll probably be some cookies and maybe some warm drinks after. January 2nd at the Activa Sportsplex. I will invite you to stand again for the blessing. May God bless you with courage as you seek the yes within you. May Christ be born again in every risk you take for the sake of the world. And may the Holy Spirit remind you again and again and again that you are never alone, and that you are loved beyond measure. Amen. We go forth singing, O Come, Emmanuel, verses 5 to 8, hymn 257. Go in peace, keep awake. Thanks be to God.